Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to my podcast. My name is Lorena and this is The Pooch. I am taking the biggest risk of a lifetime and I'm probably going to regret this in about 10 seconds because I have a toddler sleeping in one room, a newborn sleeping in another room. Can I still call him a newborn? He's 10 weeks old. I want to call him a newborn. Anyway, a helicopter is fucking flying overhead. There's a huge steam train going by, but we're just going to do this. The risk that I'm taking is that I never talk this loud when especially my toddler's asleep. But you're not going to want a podcast of me whispering. And I hate mouth noises, so that's just going to be horrible. So let's just do it. And if she wakes up, she can just join the party. So we're on episode 34. Today I was inspired by my recent visit to the community nurse, just the usual checkup for my son, just to weigh him and all that kind of stuff. I can't remember if I mentioned in the last episode that he's in a hip brace now. I think I did. So anyway, all the usual checkups, they just want to see how he's developing and everything's good. But then obviously the questions turn to me, my mental health and how, you know, connected I am to others in my same state, like, you know, current state of life, not physical state. And she brought up mum groups and asked me had I ever joined them in the, you know, with my daughter in my previous pregnancy. And she just, you know, obviously gave me some information about why they're important and that you're not isolated and all that kind of stuff. So there was a chat about relationships and feeling lonely and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And it kind of inspired me to talk about mum friend flags today because I did not join a mum's group when I had my daughter. She was 4 weeks old. I went to one session. And I felt really intimidated. It could have been a combination of the group itself and my mental state. You know, I guess being stressed and nervous and feeling like an absolute fish out of water with my first baby. I just couldn't stick around. I just found it really, really awkward. You know, I stayed for the actual group itself where they talk about, you know, how your babies are going and development and any questions that anyone had. But then that was followed by a lunch and literally I couldn't have bolted from the place fast enough. And I think it all started with me contemplating staying and then just seeing that everyone already knew each other. I don't know how, but everyone was already connected to each other. It felt really clicky straight away. I literally, like, there was the looks up and down and I doubted my insecurities were out like through the roof. So I doubted myself in every possible way. So I was like, I need to get the fuck out of here immediately. And I never went back. A lot of that, like I said, could probably have been me, my mental state and how I looked at the whole situation. But regardless, I thought I might go through some mum friend flags today, particularly red flags, that I've experienced or, you know, noted, I guess, or heard of friends who've had these experiences with other people. Because in the journey of trying to make new friends as a mum, I have a few very, very close friends, but I don't find it easy to make new friends, definitely don't. And especially since becoming a mum, it's become harder. So here are some red flags that I think exist when it comes to meeting new mum friends. So the first red flag for me, and this is a red flag for any type of friendships, to be honest, but that's mums that will gossip about other mums in your presence just talk badly about them, judge them, talk negatively about them, whether it's their appearance, their mothering, their postnatal journey, any weight gain or not looking great, or how their relationships or whatever it is. It is, for me, you know, obviously there's, you can vent about a mutual friend, that's one thing, but when the topic of conversation just becomes somebody else all the time, my radar goes up instantly, because I know that when I'm not there, surely you've got stuff to say about me. And in the context of gathering with mums, if I'm going to a mums group or whatever it might be, and I'm meeting with a bunch of mums who will talk about the one that's not there, or who'll, you know, step aside and make and discuss someone's appearance or their parenting or whatever it might be, I know straight away that that is exactly, there's a chance, I'm not saying everyone talks about me, no way, but there's a chance that it's happening behind my back as well. Watch your insecurities skyrocket if you are surrounded by people like that. Again, if they're talking about other people that way, there's a chance that they're talking about you that way. And I feel like whether you're conscious of it or not, it's really, really unhealthy. And the other thing is that the comments that tend to be made, if it is about someone's parenting or weight gain or health journey, or, you know, even, you know, look at her shitty daggy, you know, I don't know, nappy bag, whatever it might be, they're going to sit with you. I guarantee it. You're going to be in a space where you start questioning your own shit, even if what's being said hasn't been said about you. And it become, I don't know, it just, to me, it just feels dirty to be talking about other people in that way negatively all the time. If I've been in a situation where I have talked poorly about someone, you know, the way that they look, especially things that they can't control, you know, if they've made a decision and it's a bad one, or if they've been rude to me and I need to vent, I think, you know, I can manage that. But if it's literally, you know, I'm talking about something that they cannot control, I start to feel really, really dirty about it myself. And I feel like my good vibes just fly straight out the window. So my advice is, when it comes to this red flag, watch your own gossip too, because it does feel shit. And I prefer to send my good vibes out whether or not the person is present. I think judgment is so toxic, no matter what side of the fence you sit on, whether you're listening, whether you're the, you know, the person that's being judged, whether you're the one doing the judging. I think the best thing to do if you happen to be present for those situations is to try to, I don't know, highlight something a little bit more positive, or maybe give a bit of a flavor of understanding towards that person. So maybe, you know, last time you saw this particular mum, she looked disheveled. We've all been there. I'm telling, right now, if you saw me, it's midday, it's after lunch, I'm still in pajamas, my house is a bomb, I am absolutely feral right now. And if I had to step out of the house, I would be the topic of conversation for any mum in my local community. So I know what it is to be on that side. If I were to be in a situation where I heard others speaking about another mum that way, let's say, you know, mum comes to a group disheveled, you know, looking really tired, unshowered or whatever, and you might hear someone say something along the lines of, you know, she could have put in a bit of effort, at least she could have brushed her hair or something like that. My way of putting my good vibes out there would be simply to say, you know, we don't really know if she had a shitty morning. Like, you should have seen me yesterday. I even throw myself under the bus just to make sure that people are kind of recognizing that that's not a nice thing to do. Throw some more good vibes at that person and just let's be understanding as a collective. My second, should we call it a red flag? I don't know if it's a red flag, but it's something that I think people do with best intentions, but it's problematic. So it's like a, you know, maroon flag, let's call it that, is brushing off how you feel when you're trying to share that you're struggling with something. So let's say, again, I'm talking about appearance a lot. I think it's because I'm feeling pretty shitty about my appearance lately. I'm not going to lie. As you know, I'm 10 weeks postpartum and I just can't. I'm going to interject here with a little weird thing that's been happening to me, and then I'll get back to my maroon flag. Maroon. Anyway, this is so strange. So my body is not doing what it was. You know, I've just had a baby. I know the reasons. I know why. When I'm at home and I look in the same mirrors every day, I can handle it. But when I'm in a place where I'm out of my normal zone, let's say I'm at the shops and I walk past a mirror, something, it's weird. It's like it highlights the things that I'm really struggling with 10 times more. It just happens to be a different mirror. Don't know what's, I don't understand it. But it just, I'm feeling super gross and uncomfortable. And I know that that's part of my stage, 10 weeks postpartum. I just don't remember it taking this long first time round. I'm older. I have had 2 babies now, not one. Anyway, so I'm struggling. But back to the maroon flag, is people brushing that off. So if I was to say, you know, to a friend, you know, I feel really disgusting, I want to lose some weight or whatever it might be, I know people are trying to be supportive. I know people are trying to make me, you know, feel better about myself. It shouldn't all be about image. I understand, body neutrality. I understand stepping away from constant talking shit about your body. I especially, you know, avoid doing that in front of my kids. It's not healthy. But I need a space where I can be honest and go, my reflection is bothering me big time at the moment. And I want to vent because I'm really struggling with it. So if I were to say, I'm just really struggling with my weight right now, and the response is always, no, you look great, you look good, and kind of just dismiss my concerns. In some instances, in some situations, it might help in a small way. For somebody like me, I don't want you to say, yeah, you know, I've noticed you have, you know, you're really struggling to lose weight this time, or I can really see your pooch, you know, in those clothes, or whatever it might be. I'm not asking for you to, you know, re-highlight my concerns to me. That would break me. But I guess what I'm asking for is, you know, for people to acknowledge that you feel shitty about yourself and support you. So, you know, someone who's willing to listen and not necessarily give you a solution, although you might be looking for one, and that's great. And sometimes I am, and I have actually reached out. There are times I have a group chat with my sister and my cousins, and there are times where I put in there, you know, I need a boost, or I need some information about how to, you know, lose a bit of weight or up my protein or whatever it might be. And I'll specifically ask those questions, and I'll say, watch me, I need to turn this shit around because I'm not feeling great. And so in those conversations, I'm asking for advice and I'm asking for opinions around what I should do to improve my health, to improve my weight. Because yes, I do want to lose a bit of weight. I have put on kilos. I have put on more weight this time around and more weight than I'm comfortable with. I don't want to be dismissed. I don't want people to say to me, no, you look fine, and then move on, because it is not conducive to you feeling better about yourself if you're talking to other mums who are not willing to listen. And they don't have to be your best mates, but I just feel, you know, allowing someone the opportunity to vent, to speak their mind, maybe allow them, you know, the chance to feel like there is some hope in mind if you know, if it's something that they want resolved. For me, it's just getting things off my chest. Maybe someone could offer me a new perspective instead of going, no, you're doing fine. Instead, I would prefer someone to say, you know, even if it's a reminder, I've said before to people, you know, I feel really shitty about my weight, and they'll say to me, you know, don't forget you had a baby 10 weeks ago. And for some people, it can take over a year to start feeling good about themselves. That gives me perspective and a bit of hope. I'm not silly. I know I had a baby 10 weeks ago, but I do forget how long it can take potentially to start feeling like yourself again. So if it's not a solution that people are after when they're saying, you know, I'm not feeling great about this, sometimes it's just a bit of perspective, a bit of understanding, and maybe someone, some ears to listen to them. But brushing people off to me is like, nah, this is not my type of group. I don't want to be told, yeah, you look fine. Anyway, moving on. Because it just feels ingenuine.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The next flag is something that someone responded to my Insta stories as well when I asked, you know, what were things that they found annoying when it came to making new mum friends. So this flag for me is one-upping. So people who one-up on struggles, also struggle shaming, which I've mentioned in other episodes. So basically you are sharing a situation or you're going through a situation and they always have it worse, or there's always something about their story that's a little bit more than yours. So whether it's to do with your postpartum journey, again, you know, it could be weight loss, it could be your mental health, it could be any part of your journey really, how much help or how little help you get. Maybe you feel really, really isolated and you have no one to help you. You don't have a partner, or your partner works all the time. How your relationship is handling having kids. You know, maybe you're really struggling at this point in time. It could be how many kids you have. So a one-upper might say, well, you think it's hard with two, wait till you have three. Or you think it's hard with one, wait till your second one comes. Any really challenges that specifically relate to your kids. So let's say your child needs a bit of additional support in some way. And the person that you're talking to or the one-upper is going to say, well, oh yeah, no, my kid needs that and more. So you imagine how hard it is for me. That one-upping is so incredibly frustrating. And my ears close off when I'm in those situations. If I'm talking to somebody about, you know, how isolated I have felt when I was especially first time around having my daughter, and I happened to, yes, I was living at my parents' house when I had my daughter. It was during lockdown, so I was in the house with them. The baby's awake. I'm going to do a quick intermission and I'll be back. Okay, here's my quick settling child, which is good. As I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, when I had my first daughter, I was living with my parents. COVID hit, lockdown happened. I spent a big chunk of my year of parental leave at home with my parents. And just because I was at home with mum and dad while, you know, my partner went to work, doesn't mean I didn't feel isolated, and doesn't mean I didn't struggle in that area. And if I share my experience, I am very quick to be reminded often that, well, at least you were living with mum and dad. Imagine, you know, in my situation, and the one-upping starts, you know, I was alone, I was at home, I had two kids, and, you know, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And that doesn't help me at all. And if I'm sharing a struggle, that's not to downplay the reality that it would have been extremely difficult for any parent on their own, completely on their own during lockdown. It doesn't mean that I can't have struggled. One thing that I truly believe in is that we all have a different pain threshold. And I might talk about this at more length in another episode, but I believe that we all have a different pain threshold, and it has to do with our experiences, what we've lived through, and our coping skills. And right then and there, for me personally, my first baby, I felt quite clueless. I'm sure my mental health was struggling big time during a period of postpartum, as well as a pandemic, which we all lived through. But those two things together for me personally made me struggle. So I felt really isolated from the world, from friends, from people my age who were going through the same things that I was going through, even though I had people around me. My pain threshold, or my struggle threshold at the time in that specific area, I will say, was quite low because of my circumstances. So it doesn't help to one-up the other person. One-upping, in my opinion, is just another way to A, make the situation about you. Let's say you're the one-upper and I'm the one sharing my story. It's another way to make the situation about you and massively shame me for struggling when you, according to your opinion, have it worse. And it's a way to, I guess, boost the ego of the one-upper. Maybe it's a bit of a martyr situation as well. I'm not sure. But it's just struggle shaming it at its best, really. And it's just a way of saying, you know, you think you've got it bad, look at me. And it's unfair. My next mum red flag is the why are you bothering mums, or any friendship really, that questions why are you bothering to do something that's seemingly so challenging despite your beliefs. So an example that I've had personally is, why are you bothering to breastfeed? Feeding choices, I will put it out there, disclaimer, they're all individual. They all are based entirely on a person's circumstances, on what is best for that individual, for the mum, for the baby, for the dynamic, for the family. Let's put it out there. I personally breastfeed, and I've breastfed both my children and my daughter for 2 years and 7 months. Part of that was because I really wanted to breastfeed her for a long time. The other half of that period of time was that I couldn't stop and I had to work out the best way to, because she was addicted. So I'll just say, no matter what path you choose to take or have to take, or whatever your circumstances, it is up to you and it should be respected, and you're going to have challenges no matter which way. I don't think formula feeding is easier than breastfeeding. I also don't think breastfeeding is easier. I don't think either of them is easier, because there are different challenges. I haven't solely formula fed. I have used formula, but I didn't have much success with it. But it is challenging as well, because in my experience, breastfeeding is easy on the go. But there are other challenges that come with it. So I'm not getting into the debate, but what I will say is, it's frustrating to be going through the motions of, in my case, breastfeeding, and people question why I bother since there are challenges. Initially, I did face some challenges with breastfeeding, nothing major. I think this time around I've had no issue whatsoever, and it's been actually quite easy. But first time around, I did have some challenges. I had some pain. I didn't know what I was doing. There were latching issues, all that kind of stuff. And also the fact that I found it very difficult to have any time apart from my daughter, and she never, ever took a bottle, never. So we were stuck to each other all the time. And so I never had an opportunity to have a break. And in having those conversations with people or sharing some of the struggles, also my hormones, oh my God, through the roof. I always get massive hot flashes when I'm breastfeeding, and it's crazy. Anyway, I don't know if that's a health issue. That's one for another day, probably. But I think it's just too easy to tell someone in that situation, well, why do you bother? And it's so dismissive. And in my case, I felt it was really painful to hear that perspective, because it feels like all your struggle and all your effort, because, you know, based on what you feel is best for your situation, it feels like all of that is a waste. And when you tell somebody, or when you're, you know, when someone says to a mum who's in a postpartum journey, who's trying to do her best for her baby and for herself and for her family, that what they're doing is a waste of time. It's the biggest slap in the face. So the why are you bothering situations really do my head in. The other problem with that, you know, with it being so dismissive about, you know, the person's struggles, is that if I then share how I feel about the situation, I'm at risk of potentially criticizing that person's choices. So let's say, scenario, person A chooses to breastfeed, has some struggles, but has chosen to breastfeed because she believes it's what's best for her circumstances, her baby and herself. Person B does not, or doesn't have the same belief system, or doesn't have the same circumstances. And person B decides to say to person A, why are you bothering to breastfeed if you're struggling so much, despite the fact that person A is having problems with, you know, latching, or is up through the night, can't share the feeding responsibilities with anyone else, is exhausted, and still is, you know, powering through because she believes that it's what's needed in her situation. If person A were to turn around and say, this is what I believe is best, there's a good chance that person B is going to get offended or feel criticized because person A is standing her ground. That's the situation that I've been in. So I have to be very quiet about the fact that I'm choosing to seemingly struggle. You might think it's a waste of time, but I think it's best for my situation. So by you dismissing that, I'm not able to sit here and go, but I want to breastfeed my child because I think I need to, without feeling like I'm offending you. I think it is best to always listen and respect the other person. Show support. Don't make it seem like they're wasting their time. If they are struggling, try to understand their pain. Try to understand their experience. And just, again, just be a supportive friend. So if I am meeting other mums who are having a struggle, especially first time round, I think, you know, in my experience, and I think in the experience of others, what you experience first time round may or may not be kind of mimicked similarly second time round. If you've gotten over the hurdle first time round, it might be a little bit easier second time round, depending on the situation. But I think if it's a first time round situation, you need to remember where you were at that time. And I'm saying you, like you're the red flaggy mum. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying as a fellow mum, if I'm meeting a mum who is struggling in these circumstances, I'm going to be really conscious of not dismissing the effort that she's putting in. And this, you know, this applies to so many other things. Like, I've been questioned by another mum as to why I haven't brought an iPad out when I'm, you know, out with my kid to dinner. I haven't done that. My daughter's three, and up until this point, I haven't done that. She uses my phone. I'm not going to sit here and pretend we've got no screens. Of course, I'll, in situations where I'm trying to have a conversation or I really need a break, I haven't caught up with a friend in a while, and I've exhausted all of the coloring in books and drawing activities and everything else that I possibly can, I'll hand over my phone and she can have a little play with it. And I'm fine with that. That works for me. That works in my situation. And I'm not judging anyone for doing any more or any less screen time than me. But it is, in my opinion, in my experience, for my circumstances, it is an effort not to take it out straight away, not to hand her a phone or an iPad straight away. So when people question me, like, why are you bothering not doing that? Like, why wouldn't you just take one out? It again kind of dismisses my belief system around that. It dismisses the effort that I'm putting in the to not do that straight away. Same with people who might choose to use reusable nappies. I had all the plans in the world. I have them all stashed in a cupboard. I intended to. It was definitely going to be, you know, there's no question I was never going to use disposable nappies. And I haven't had it in me to do it consistently. Every now and then I do. I haven't yet with my son, full disclosure. With my daughter, I was doing more reusable nappies because we were at home a lot. It is a big effort, and it's one that I believe I should be making. So there's a lot of guilt around that, environmentally, of course. But if I were to be, you know, to be questioned, why would you bother making that effort? It is such a huge effort to do something like that is such a huge effort to do something like dedicate yourself to using reusable nappies. And, you know, hats off to mums of the 90s, 80s and before that. But I just, yeah, all I'm saying is if I was to be using them consistently and then people would be going, why would you bother, just use disposable nappies? I would probably punch someone because the effort that it takes is huge to be told that you're just wasting your time. The next flag is the, oh, how cute, rubbish. When it comes to anything in terms of possessions, like it might be your cheap pram, your cheap carrier, your cute little nappy bag, you have a shitty car, oh, that's so adorable. This is something that has followed me from high school, by the way, so it's a bit of a big red flag of mine in general. Anytime anyone refers to me as cute, it bothers me. You know, it was the popular girls in school who might, or, you know, people from the year above who might try to, I don't know, belittle me by calling me cute. And it happened a few times. And I was like, you're not taking me seriously. If I show up with a pram that's not as expensive as yours to a mother's group, just stay in your lane and worry about your own stuff. Like, you just do you and let others live within their means. Not everyone has an Instagrammable mum life. Not everyone does. I certainly don't. So the oh cute situation, if I were to go to a mum's group and have anyone comment on how cute or how little or how cheap something of mine is, that is the moment I up and leave, absolutely, because I just find it so offensive and it just rubs me the wrong way. The next red flag is expert mums. So mums who look at you as a newbie just because you started your mum life after them. So, you know, you might be new to having a baby, you might be new to having two babies. You know, the typical comment like, well, welcome to my life, or welcome to having two kids. Now you know what it's like. It's just, it's annoying. It's this attitude of like, you've been there before. I'm just fresh. You know what you're talking about. So I'm always going to be inferior to you. There's never a sense of equals. Even if they're the same age or younger, it's just that they've been there before. And it's kind of like this, welcome to my world. Now you finally understand my struggles, you inexperienced twit. And I just find that so irritating. And again, we should be on the same level, but we're not because, oh, sorry, you've been here before. It puts us in a position that, you know, nothing is new to them. You can't teach them anything. They can only teach you. So it's a very one-sided relationship. And ultimately, you'll never be equals, like I said, in the friendship. Unless you're looking for a mentor, a mum-tor, that's so lame. There are situations that I've actually reached out to friends because I know that they've done this before and I'm struggling. For example, my son is in a hip dysplasia harness. And my best friend went through that before. So I will reach out to her with questions, no doubt. She'll never say to me, oh, welcome to my life, you know, kind of thing. But in general, relationships, friendships need to be equal. It's not a mentor-mentee situation. And the last one, which I've mentioned before, and I'll mention it again, is the just wait. Just wait. You think you've got it bad now. Wait till blah. Wait till, you know, you're kid is a toddler, or wait till you've got two, or wait till you go back to work, or all that kind of shit. It is irritating. And I'm gonna have to cut it there because my little baby boy has woken up and he's wide awake now. I hope you enjoyed this episode. On my next episode, I'm going to be sharing a bunch of green flags. Don't worry, I'm not just a negative Nancy. I'll be sharing green flags when it comes to mum friends. I'm going to go and attempt to have a shower now before the toddler wakes up. And if I manage to do that, today will be the most miraculous day on earth. And I will celebrate with a glass of wine probably this afternoon. As usual, I'm here to remind you to trust your gut, be kind to your pooch, and have a wonderful day. And I'll see you on my next episode. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.